Hello, hello, and welcome to PuffCast, your Harry Potter happy place. This episode is September 1st, 2021, back to school day. I'm Melanie.
And I'm Juliana. And this week we have a very special guest. And who is that, Melody?
It's Mella, the Hufflenan.
Oh, it is me. Okay.
Well, that didn't confuse anyone.
I feel like we should play even more confusing games later throughout, like, Hidden Away, you know, because we have two fabulously named women on this podcast today.
Yeah, I think, like, okay, which Melanie is it? Like, we'll pick something Ooh. About ourselves and it'll be like, yeah. Okay, is it Melanie or is it Mella the Hufflenan?
Yeah, we could do that.
But to make it as easy as possible, we decided with Juliana that she is continuously calling me Mel as usual. Yes. And then our lovely guest is going to be Mella.
We are very excited to have Mella on the podcast. She is one of our patrons. She's also just one of our friends. And she's an advocate and a lovely person. Just welcome, Mella.
Thank
anyway,
you.
Even though you did the intro already, you're like, welcome again.
I'm really excited to be here. I was a very early subscriber to PuffCast, and once y'all started the Patreon, I glommed on, not only because you're Hufflepuffs, which is my house and, you know, where my heart lies, but the fact that Juliana is a New Englander, you know, she lives about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that there is something really Hufflepuff specific. Like, I feel like nowadays there's a lot more house parody where you're getting things from all the houses, but I've been a Harry Potter fan since the late 90s and kind of known I was a Hufflepuff since like 03, 04. And it's really only in the past couple of years that I could get merch that Hufflepuff was a thing. So when I saw this, I signed up right away. And
and we're happy to have you.
Yes.
The majority of my podcasts are true crime, and I listen to those to fall asleep, which is a very strange thing.
Yes, you told me that before, and I was like, I don't know how you do that, because I would just be up all night with nightmares.
Sophie would love that. I mean, she's probably doing exactly that as well.
Probably.
It's the cadence of their voice and how they tell the story. It's not so much that I'm listening because I want to hear the story. I need to be awake and alert and not in really bad migraine when I listen to things like PuffCast and some of the other Harry Potter ones that I listen to, because I want to be able to pay attention to the details. Whereas when I'm listening to the true crime podcast, A, it's probably a story I already know because I've been a true crime follower since the 80s, but B, it requires none of my concentration, whereas PuffCast requires all of my concentration.
Okay. Well, we are happy to require all of your concentration, because what a commitment.
Yeah, when I get behind, that's why. It's because I've been having a rough couple of weeks and I just can't pay attention to anything.
I'll tell you a secret, Mella. We can't tell who's listened to our podcast. We just get numbers. So if you're behind, we don't know. You don't have to tell us.
You can pretend you are up to date. But something that you can do for us is to introduce yourself. Give us your fandom ID, what house we have heard already, but everything else, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, please.
I am clearly a proud Hufflepuff.
Woohoo!
I am Hufflenan, because I'm one of the older friends in the community. You know, if anybody needs a nan or a mom to give them a hug or encourage them, I'm there for that. Because not everybody always, you know, has supported families, which is kind of why I picked the topic for today.
Yeah.
So I am a Hufflepuff. I am also a Puckwudgie. Go Ilvermorny.
You and I are very close to where Ilvermorny is, actually.
I am an American witch, and whenever I do library events, you know, I say that I'm from Ilvermorny, I'm a Puckwudgie, and I did a semester abroad at Hogwarts, and that's why I know I'm a Hufflepuff.
Oh.
So my Patronus is a Manx cat. So it's a cat that has like a stubby tail.
Oh,
we've always been cat people. We have two cats right now. Lucy is the one that is my cat. That's the one that always kind of sits on me and knows when I'm having a bad day and is trying to break into the Zoom. She is my at-home Patronus. And my wand is, I have two wands, both of them that were made for me by Windermere Wands.
Oh, we love him.
Oh, Deacon is the best.
Very talented.
So my two wands, one is Wand of Ivy, and that is a Celtic wand that has the Tree of Life carved into one side and the Cladda carved into the other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we designed this one. And then because I am also a patron of Windermere Wands, one of the things that comes with your patronage is each year you get a wand.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, talked to me about designing it. And I said, I want something that's rowan, because rowan is a very New England type of wood. It's a wand wood that's good for healing. And so I said, just go ahead and design whatever you would like. All I want is Rowan. I don't care about anything else. And so he made this for me, which obviously Ooh. This is a podcast, so there's not a visual medium. The rune on it looks like a bee, and it's a healer's rune. And the handle and the whole wand, it's Rowan wood is a light wood, not a black wood. So it's shaped like a Bellatrix mm-hmm. wand, but it's mm-hmm. like if Bellatrix were good. Like my whole theory about wands is that wands come very basic and they evolve and change as mm-hmm. you grow as a witch or a wizard. So the wand you start out with may look like just a plain stick, but as you see, Harry's changes over the movies, and it's because he grows into his wand. That's my personal theory about wands.
Oh, I like this theory. This is a good theory.
What else about me? I am a wife, a mom, a grandma, voracious reader. Once upon a time, I wrote a novel.
Really? Ooh. About what?
I did. I wrote a romance novel based on how my husband and I met.
Aw, that's cute.
It, you know, I sold enough to break even on the process. It's not a great book. It's not greatly edited because it was the first time I had really written anything. But it's something I'm proud of doing. And, you know, you can still buy it on Amazon if you want. I used to be called Mel when I was younger. And then I kind of got to the point where I didn't want to be called Mel. And when I was creating an AIM username, so that tells you how long ago this was.
Oh, boy.
I was trying to think up combinations of who I wanted to be. And so I was brainstorming with some friends and they were like, well, take Melanie. And AIM username became Mela K. Bella. And all of my friends just started calling me Mela. And that's how I came up with the Mela nickname.
Okay.
Anyone who I've met online, that's what they call me. Like, and in person, you can differentiate between somebody I know from an online community or somebody who I met in my physical life. Mm-hmm. I don't like to call it real life and not real life because it's so integrated.
It's still real.
It yeah. is real. I was listening to the podcast last week where you're going on holiday to Finland. It's not like you guys aren't real friends. You are real friends. You just happen to live in different places and you met through this medium. Again, going back to why I picked the topic about found family and friends and fandom.
Yes. I mean, Mel and I are best friends. And just the fact that we haven't met in person yet, which we already know the first day that we meet in person is just fully got to be us crying the entire day.
And bottles of water, because you'll need to hydrate after all that crying.
Yes, hydrating is important.
That is such a grandma thing for me to say.
We'll be fine.
But Melly, you forgot to answer one question for us, though. What is your favorite food that is not pizza? And this is a pressing question, and we must know the answer.
It is a pressing question, and I gave it a significant amount of thought as I was sitting there last night eating the homemade pizza my husband and I had made for dinner last night, completely not planned because as of last night, I thought we were doing this next week because I have no concept of the passage of time. So first and foremost, as a food group, potatoes.
Yes. Oh. Potato.
I am Irish through and through.
I was going to say, you're definitely very Irish.
I am a potato lover. Mash them, boil them, put them in a stew.
Yes, I agree.
Give me a potato. And potatoes for the reason also, A, they're versatile. Mm-hmm. B, potatoes are a gentle food. I have a lot of nausea and vomiting with my migraines. Like mashed potatoes are something that I can eat. So I'm getting some calories and something in me to help settle my stomach. Mm-hmm. Some people will eat toast. I'll eat some plain mashed potato. Both of my spouses have been Italian, so I do love a good lasagna. Mm-hmm. And growing up, my grandfather taught me to cook, so I love a good Sunday roast and a good homemade beef stew.
So, you see, we can tell very easily that you are a proper Hufflepuff, because yes. you cannot just take one thing, you have like several, and I think that's very Hufflepuff of you.
It's very Hufflepuff to have potatoes up there in the yes. top of the...
Potatoes are the top of the hierarchy. Anything
they are the
else
best.
Is,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I love a good baked good. My sweet tooth has kind of gone away because of one of my migraine medications, but potatoes will never fail me.
Now, Mela, before we dive into our feedback section, do you want to tell our listeners briefly about kind of your history with migraines and just a little bit about your advocacy?
I have had migraines since I was 12 years old. My migraines were very hormonal or very food triggered. Mm-hmm. And then 11 years ago, I got really, really sick and I had the worst migraine I've ever had in my life. And I thought I was having a stroke. So my husband took me to the hospital. I wasn't having a stroke, but I had an excess of cerebral spinal fluid, which is what was causing the pain and pressure. That was the first time that I had a migraine that lasted longer than a day and didn't respond to medicine. That migraine was 19 days long. 9 of those days were in the hospital.
Oy.
That was really, really tough. And it kept going on like that. I'd have a 4-day migraine, have a couple days off, have a 3-day migraine, have a couple days off, started being responsive to medication. And it became so bad that I eventually had to stop working. We could no longer make accommodations for me. I was, as I mentioned earlier, I'm an incredibly unreliable person because of my brain. It's really frustrating for me.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was doing at Brown was I worked in research administration. So I did all of the paperwork side of anybody who does medical research or research with humans, including like research protections for humans. I had to stop working and I was starting to feel really very useless. I'm not contributing anything financially to my family. I'm not contributing anything to the community. I'm just kind of sitting in my room. And I belonged to some migraine group on Facebook, and we got an opportunity to participate in an event about migraines that would be wide reaching. And through that, a local organization found me. It's a national organization, but their headquarters is in Rhode Island, the Association of Migraine Disorders. And they invited me to start doing stuff with them and speaking. And what I was able to do was take my understanding of how research for humans happens and kind of translate from science to the layperson patient understanding of it. So that's kind of what I do for advocacy, is explain why clinical trials happen the way they do, why a medication worked for you but doesn't work for me or wouldn't work for Juliana or what have you. In the past couple of years, we have been doing advocacy by meeting this year virtually, but last year in person, with our congressional delegations, our senators and representatives from Rhode Island, to talk to them about the importance of funding migraine and why it's important, and you know, how it's such low funding compared to disease burden, compared to other diseases and funding. In America, there are 38 million migraineurs. Funding for migraine is abysmal. We've been focusing a lot on getting funding for VA centers for migraine, because if the government funds something for veterans or seniors, it eventually trickles down to everybody.
Gotcha.
It's one of those unfortunate and unexpected things. Because there is this new male population of migraineurs that are growing, people start to take it more serious. 75% of migraine patients are women. So
it's unfortunate.
That's why I do migraine advocacy. Genetically, I passed on migraines to my daughter. She's just episodic right now. She's not chronic, thank goodness. But I really like it to be, by the time my granddaughter enters puberty and when hormonal stuff would be starting where she might get migraines, that we've got better preventative treatment or we've gone closer to making a difference. And so I advocate for me on some level, but really I'm advocating for, you know, women in their 30s, women in their 20s, and kids who are going to grow up with this, you know. So there's lots of interesting things going on in migraine. And so I'm able to use my work history and education to feel productive and useful and advocate for migraine. And so that's the main thing I do. I mean, I've got a wee little Etsy shop and I craft sometimes and I read a lot of books and I sit in the dark a lot. But, you know, when I am well, I advocate for migraine because that is the thing I feel most passionate about, because it is the thing that has changed my life from somebody who traveled the world with her husband and was managing the third largest academic department at our university to sitting in my bed in the dark with ice on my head 5 days a week.
Yeah.
That's honestly the perfect application for your experience in life from a professional and from a personal standpoint. It's good to have someone who's advocating for migraine and also just kind of helping other people who are suffering break that information down, I think. You're helping things move in the correct direction, Mella. Yeah. I appreciate that.
It's definitely an important topic, and I'm sure that every one of us knows several people who are suffering from migraines, and I have seen it in my own home. My father also that suffers from it as well, and he had tried several different things and nothing really helped. And you are coming to a point with painkillers that it doesn't help you either anymore. It's really affecting your whole life. It does something to you. So yeah. I want to applaud you for being so strong and actually trying to move things forward and help other people, because there are going to be more and more new generations. As you said, your granddaughter might develop the same, and you can help start making her future already much better. Just thinking of that is kind of hopeful.
Yeah, thank you. But no, like, strides have been made and people are starting to take it seriously. And so I'm not going to shut up until people pay as much attention to it as they pay to a torn ACL, breast cancer.
Yeah.
Anything else. Yeah. Well, thank you for your hard work. So I'm thinking that we should probably transition into the news now.
Yes.
Do-do-do-do-do-do! News. Hello and welcome to the news. This is Juliana here, reporting live from Hogwarts Castle. Tonight I have a special guest host with me. I have Mella the Hufflenan. And Mel, I don't know where she went. I may or may not have thrown her over the side of the bridge. Oops! She's currently swimming with the giant squid, and maybe we'll be back.
Watch out for the Grindylows!
Ah! Yes, my mermaid friends are down there, making sure she gets to the shoreline safely after she's had a romp with the giant squid. So do with that what you want in your own head, listeners. There may or may not be Melanie Squid Babies somewhere else in the world.
That is a different podcast altogether. Where is Michael in khakis? That is right up his aisle.
Wait, yes, what? I didn't sign up for that. I'd rather come back into the news, if I may.
I mean, generally speaking, there wasn't a permission slip for this, but you can come back into the news.
Thank you.
Yeah, so when this episode is coming out, it is coming out on September 1st. So we would just like to say, welcome back to Hogwarts. It is back to Hogwarts Day. We don't have anything planned for this day as of this recording, but we will do something. We will celebrate as we usually
do. Be surprised by whatever we come up with online.
Yeah, we're purposely planning a surprise to not tell you what it is. That's exactly
now you're making everyone's expectations like, wait, no, don't just see what happens if something happens.
I mean, listeners, let us know what you'd like for us to do. I'm not opposed to, like, dressing up as, like, a giant slice of pizza, maybe, or...
You know what everyone could do? If this is your first year entering Hogwarts, let us know what house you were sorted in. That would be fun.
Oh, yes. That would be fun. And even if you're not... This isn't your first year. Just let us know what house you're sorted into, and then we can create a tally and make sure that there are more Hufflepuffs than anyone else in our listenership.
I think we are quite equally divided throughout our listenership.
Yeah, we have a pretty good balance.
Yeah.
That's good. So. That's what you want. House parody.
Yeah. Okay. So in other news, in the US, the Harry Potter movies, which were previously on Peacock, will be moving back to HBO Max on September 1st, which is kind of a bummer because on Peacock they were free, and now on HBO Max, if you want to watch them, you have to pay. And I would just like to say in regards to the movies where they are in the US, I don't know how this stands in Finland, Mel, but people who are out there deciding who has the rights to these movies, pick one place. Like, literally, over the last couple of years, they've been in, like, 7 different spots, and I'm like, I want to watch them not on my DVD player, and it's such a journey figuring out where they're even being streamed anymore.
That would be actually my question. Doesn't everyone has at least the DVDs or Blu-rays of the movies and uses those? I wouldn't even seek out these channels to watch them there. I just pop them into my laptop or player, and I just watch the movies there.
My laptop and a lot of laptops,
they don't have that drive anymore.
Yeah, yeah. The CD drive is long gone, so the only place I can watch that is on my TV. I know there's a lot of people, too, who don't even have DVD players on their TVs anymore, so the only way that they can watch it is streaming.
Hmm. I have one of those small external thingies for DVDs that I can plug into the computer, and then I can watch it from there. Okay, but yeah, I kind of get it that it keeps changing.
It'd just be nice if...
Where can I find it now?
Yeah.
And it's where you can find it free or reasonably priced. Like, so I own them all on iTunes, so I can stream them whenever I want to. Mm. And in the US, sometimes they're on Freeform, even though, because they have rights to play them. But like, if you want to watch them just on demand, it's moving over different to HBO Max, which is problematic because it's, for some people, it just prices them out of the situation, and Warner Brothers has enough money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
They have plenty of Harry Potter money, let me tell you that much. There is no shortage.
Very controversial topic.
Yes, there are many hot takes. Okay.
Okay.
So next year actually marks the 25 years since the release of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the original, obviously, in England, and their book publisher, Bloomsbury, they are planning to celebrate this all year long. And they haven't given us any real specifics as to what's going to happen for the fact that they are coming out with a special silver anniversary edition of the original Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, which I probably will end up buying, honestly. I almost bought it the other day, but then I was like, Juliana, why are you buying this? Didn't buy it, but I'm probably gonna cave. But the only real difference it looks like is that it has the original cover art that was on the original publication. But you ready for this? The big seller is there is a removable silver sticker on it that says 25 years of Harry Potter.
Heh? That's it?
Yeah. I was looking at the website the other day, and the thing that really deterred me, I will say, so thank you, Bloomsbury, for this in a backhanded way. It's literally $15 to ship it to us. It's a $13 book with $15 shipping, and I was like, ooh, yeah, the shipping is more than the book.
So I'm going to give a little secret hint here about saving for shipping for Bloomsbury things to get the UK copies. Use Book Depository, bookdepository.com. Oh. So they'll order a mess of them from the UK, have them here. They ship from a US location. So shipping tends to be very reasonable with Book Depository. And Book Depository also has one of those things like where if you spend X amount of dollars, you can get free shipping.
Okay.
It works for people like in Australia and the EU. Book Depository is a really great place to be able to get books that aren't necessarily available in your region.
Okay.
So there's my contribution to the news.
Yay! Yay, news!
We knew we had you on for a reason.
Besides the fact that your name is Melanie.
So, but you said there's only a different sticker on there, a silver sticker. So there's nothing else different about the copy itself? No special extras inside or the design or...
No, it's they're going back to the original design. It's just a hardcover book.
Ooh, you know, now that I think about it, I think you cannot get these covers anymore at all.
Oh, is that why?
Them bringing that back, now that actually makes more sense to me.
Yeah, they're bringing back the original cover art.
Yes, yes. Because you couldn't get them anymore. They were out of print.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's what makes it special. Here it says, original cover design from 1997, Dumbledore on the spine and reverse, a hardback removable dust jacket, a peelable silver anniversary sticker, available for 1 year only. And it says, reformatted, easy to read text design, and that it's releasing on my birthday!
Yay!
June 9th, 2022.
So I am seeing right now that the copy that I have says 15 years of Harry Potter magic. So there's a different one on there as well, if you can see it here. It's not a sticker, though. You cannot remove it, but...
Is Dumbledore on the spine?
He's on the back.
Oh, he's on the back, and he's on the spine, too.
And on the spine also, yes.
So I have one that's the original Bloomsbury cover.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's got the rando wizard on the back. The paperbacks had like a really quirky wizard that didn't even necessarily look like Dumbledore. I think that the printer didn't know what to do and just was like, draw somebody who looks like a wizard. I'm happier to collect the Mina Lima books that are coming out because
they have so much ephemera
in them and they're just beautiful. Yeah. And I am a sucker for paper products.
Oh, me too. Oh, I love the illustrated ones by Jim Kay. I love the Mina Lima book. That's the first Mina Lima product I've owned, but I got it and I was so amazed and I actually went and bought the book that they do that has some of the fairy tales in it, but the main one being The Little Mermaid.
Yep, they do beautiful, beautiful work.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. It's absolutely stunning and love it so much.
So the Bloomsbury editions coming back that way makes sense for those that hadn't had the chance to get these specific ones. And now that I remember, I have actually only the first four books with the original covers from Bloomsbury. So I would, if they do this like continuously with the other books as well, I have actually the chance to get the last three in these editions. So that would actually be really nice. For those who really desperately want to have the original design of the first book ever made and printed, there are lots of different editions, of course, in all sorts of forms and colors. But those are the first original ones and that would actually kind of make sense. And
Well, we'll look forward to seeing other things from Bloomsbury and the year kind of comes upon us. But right now, that's really the only thing we have planned from them. But there is something else that is happening right now that we did briefly talk about before on one of the other episodes that is close to Mel-ish, kind of close.
2 hours away by flight.
You're closer than me. but that is the Harry Potter A Forbidden Forest Experience. And they are celebrating some of the most iconic forest scenes from the Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts film. Visitors can interact with magical creatures and cast their own spells, bringing fantastical worlds to life, discovering centaurs, a hippogriff, and other magical creatures before making a Patronus appear before your eyes. And I did read a bunch of reviews of this, and yes, you do actually get to do a spell at the end that makes a Patronus. So that's actually kind of cool. I honestly, if this was 2 hours away from me, Mal, I definitely would be there.
Well,
not even a 2-hour flight, but a 2-hour drive, I would do it.
Yeah, I would definitely immediately go if the whole situation worldwide is getting better and improving. That has to happen first. Do we have any dates on how long this is running?
It didn't seem like there was an end date to it. It's okay. At this kind of castle garden place where they've set it up on their grounds. I'm assuming it's just a limited run thing because from what I saw, this location also has hosted other events similar to this where they do like a takeover of the venue and do something and then it moves on to the next exhibit. But it definitely is something that sounds really cool. It's a little bit pricey. The adult standard admission is £39. I don't know what that is in US dollars, especially if it's only going to be like an hour or two's worth of stuff or so. I don't know how long these tours actually are. But the standard entry gets you into the forest trail inspired by the Wizarding World and entry into their village full of magical food and drink inspired by the Wizarding World. Or if you're feeling bougie, you can get the standard admission with the bundle, which comes with everything I just said, as well as a branded Harry Potter Forbidden Forest beanie hat to keep your head warm on the trail. You get a luxury hot chocolate, handcrafted barista ground coffee, or a regular hot drink with a brownie or a muffin. And Mel, you will also appreciate this, and I know I did. They are donating to Give a Tree, Grow a Forest with this event that they're putting on as well, too. So they're trying to use this to also do some good in the world.
And based on current conversion rates, that's between $55 and $80, depending on which package you choose.
Oh, that's kind of pricey.
It is kind of pricey. So I hope it's a multi-layered experience that...
Yeah, but definitely something if you're in that area to go and check out and would be really fun.
Yeah. So, and then moving on, we are having also a couple of responses from our episode 37. And that was all about magical holidays. And I remember we had a lot of fun dreaming up our dream holiday. And we asked our listeners, where would you go on a magical holiday? We have some Muggle destinations, very simple. It's gonna be really hard to pronounce these names.
Don't look at me.
Swangzinger and Gryffindor said they would probably go to Universal Disney. But we also had a couple more magical responses.
Yes. So Sophie said, Sophie created a list.
Yeah.
She said that she wants to go to New Orleans because it has a rich history of what some would call magic, which I will attest, yes, it does. My brother was down there for a summer, and it's a wild place. And she would also like to go to Finland to see Santa and Mel, Cape Cod to see me and pay her respects to Shirley, and she would also like to go to Ireland, because that's where the magic is. I didn't know that Ireland is where the magic is, but you know, I am very much so like Mela. I am like 90% Irish, so I too would like to go to Ireland at some point. I look forward to seeing you on Cape Cod, Sophie, whenever that is.
Someday. Then we have some nice destinations like Cindy Rue Cosplays wants to go to Shell Cottage. Our personal friend Ev, she would love to go to Hogsmeade at Christmas, which sounds very lovely. I bet it's great to go there and have a good cup of cocoa and some good snacks and cozy up and then go out for a snowball fight.
Yes.
That would be fun.
Our friend Ellie said, why not take a wizard holiday to other countries, wizarding towns, or schools? It would be cool to visit one of the other schools and socialize with other wizards from other countries. Like maybe go learn about some wandless magic from Ouagadougou. They have a Diagon Alley, quote unquote, you can visit, hashtag networking. And so I'm very excited, Mel, because we also got a personal voice message from someone who we both know we love so dearly.
Yes.
It was just such a treat to get this voice message.
Dobby himself took time in his day and recorded a small message for us and will tell us about his idea.
I will say for the record, this is not me doing a voice this time, guys. No. This one was not.
Of course it's not.
This is not my creation.
What are you talking about? It's Dobby.
I'm just saying people can, if they want to think that, oh, it's just Juliana doing a voice. No, this is the real Dobby.
Hello, Puffcast. You'll be heard that you was asking about magical vacations, Miss Juliana and Miss Melanie. So Dobby decided to send you a very special seagull message to tell you that Dobby will be going on a vacation to the United States of America, because Dobby has found out from the Muggle Studies professor that American Muggles loves a game called baseball. So Dobby is going to go and watch the baseball, because Dobby has found out that there are not one, but two teams, Mrs., that are named after Sox. So Dobby will be going to see the White Sox and the Red Sox play the game of baseball. And Dobby is hoping that if Dobby can get a hold of a White Sox and a Red Sox, Dobby can mix them together and Dobby can have a pink sock. Dobby loves pink socks. Farewell, Puffcast. Farewell.
Farewell, Dobby. Thank you for sending us in your little voice message. That was so sweet.
Oh, I love that so much.
Pink socks. Who knew that he would love pink socks so much? I think we should all collect pink socks and send them for Christmas to Dobby.
To Dobby.
I was kind of hoping that when he said combining the red sock and the white sock, he's looking for a stripy sock.
Ooh, yeah. I don't think Dobby would be opposed to having a striped sock either. I feel like he's open to all socks.
Yeah. That was lovely.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
Thank you, Dobby.
Thank you.
Hello, fellow do-gooders and friends. I'm Karina Blizzi, host of Care More, Be Better, a social impact and sustainability podcast. For the last 20 years, I've worked for companies that believe what I believe, that together we can do more good. I decided to launch this show to double down on that effort and tell the stories of inspired people who are working hard to build a better future. Each week, we invite you to care more about a particular issue. We provide tools, tips, and resources so you can play a role in solving real social and environmental problems. In our first few episodes, you'll hear about the struggles of refugees in Greece and the amazing not-for-profit that helps them re-enter society. You'll hear about a high school principal that took a second job at Walmart to pay forward his salary to students in need. And you'll hear from a young man who rolls a tractor tire all around his neighborhood to bring awareness to the struggles of those with cancer. These are just a few of the stories we tell, as we invite you on a journey to care more so we can all be better. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, our website, caremorebebetter.com, on social channels at caremorebebetter. Join us, because together we can do so much more.
Okay, so that is all we have for the news section this week. So what we're going to do now is we're going to transition into our main discussion, which is curated and has the topic chosen by our lovely guest, which is Mela, and she has chosen the topic of found family. So we're going to talk about that in the context of the wizarding world. So I think what we'll do first is I'll just give us a definition of what found family is, and then we can just kind of take it from there and see where it goes, just so people have a good base knowledge of what we mean going forward. So found family is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's a group of usually unrelated people that form their own group or family together based on shared experiences and understanding of each other, rather than being blood related as you would in a biological family. So essentially, this is just the family that you choose instead of the family that you're born into. So it's something that I know Mel and I have really embraced, and I genuinely really love so much. But I know that, Mela, this is a point where you're very passionate too as well.
It is. When I was thinking about what the topic would be, I got a text from Paula on Pensivable, who has been a guest on the podcast before.
Yes.
And, you know, if Paula ever posts something that I've made or sent her or about me or whatever, she always calls me her sister from another mister. Paula and I are very close in age, very close in just about everything. We're extroverted introverts. We are both really big in the community. We are both people who are crafters. I found my kind of Harry Potter family, very similar. I think I started following Brandy and Peter the Potter Collector on my migraine Instagram. And I was like, I think I'm going to start a Harry Potter Instagram. It was just like, it's something I'm really interested in. And because my entire world exists in my house, it's something where it's a very escapist kind of comfort object for me. And so making friends through the community has been one of the highlights of the community. You know, I was in my mid-20s when the idea of making friends on the internet became a thing. So I was a little older, but I wasn't necessarily suspicious of it because being an army brat, I was always moving all the time anyway. I never lived close to my biological family. I'm not particularly close to my biological family. And so having this way to have other people in your life and who support you has been something that I've benefited from the community. The book community, especially the indie author community in New England, I was really, really active in that for quite a while. I'm less so now. But this idea that just because you don't have biological family around you for any reason, whether it is estrangement, whether it is through matters beyond your control, whether your family is unaccepting of you as a person, for whatever reason, the idea that you would have to be alone and isolated forever is something that I really worried about when I became a single mom at 26. And then being able to find friends who become over time my family is the important part of fandom. And I think that people look at fandom and say, oh, you're just obsessed with this character or this story. And it's the thing where it's not. I'm obsessed with the people that I've met through it and the experiences that I've had because of it. I was really lucky right before everything closed down to go to Uncelebration with the Central Florida Slug Club and meet Paula in person and Karina and a whole bunch of folks. And I had gone to LeakyCon in Boston and met a bunch of folks. And I just think that the idea that you're never truly alone because there are people out there who enjoy the same things, who love you and support you for the person you are, not the person they expect you to be, is the unintended benefit of fandom and the internet age. And yeah, it's just really a wonderful thing because even though, you know, there are many folks who have struggled and tried to reconcile themselves with the author and creator and her very limited problematic worldview.
Yeah.
The one reason that I didn't pull away from the community is that, you know, I'm not necessarily leaning away from buying licensed things for the most part. I'm supporting small creators on Etsy. I'm creating things myself, but I never want to lose the friends and the family that I have. It brings me joy and seeing other people be happy and truly getting excited about things they've made or created. And, you know, I've always not been artistic necessarily, but crafty. One of the things that I take great pleasure in is people's creativity and like watching someone go through a build of something like Michael and Haley, who do lots of sewing and cosplay, like just to watch him from the beginning of a build to the end of a build and like how much he's grown as a sewer. Like it makes me feel like a proud parent when I see all of you guys like mastering a new skill, making a new friend, being brave enough to go to a new place. And that feeds in me the, you know, there's the friend part of it, but then there's also the mom and grandma part of it where it's like, I get to be proud of other people. Like I have one child. I have one grandchild. That's where my kind of world ends. I have my sister and my mother. The rest of the family is very distant and estranged. So my family is my close family, my husband's family, and friends that I've made over the years. One of the beautiful things about the way that it reflects with Harry Potter is he's an orphan. He's got miserable family who he ought to be estranged from. Mm-hmm. And he's building his family with the Weasleys and with Sirius. I feel great joy and, you know, on some level, whether I'm entitled to it or not, a sense of parental pride when I see people make connections and do fun things and accomplish things. And like, you know, you go and you do your races and I get very excited when you post your pictures and I'm so proud. And it's like all of these things just create a world for me shut in my house to have a community all over the world.
See, it's interesting that you say you, in some way, you might not be entitled to these things, but the amount of joy that it brings me to like hear someone say, I'm so proud of you, but I can just speak from my own personal experience too. You are more than entitled to feel proud when you see other people doing things. And we are more than happy to take that level of pride because it's part of being a family, being able to be proud of each other and be happy for each other, share those experiences. Knowing that, hey, if I do this, Mela, she's going to just clap from her room, and she's going to be so proud of everything that I've done. That in itself is just such a motivating factor to go out and do things, too.
I was listening to some older episodes of Puffcast this week and kind of in prep for it, too. You know, and I'm listening to the evolution of the two of you as podcasters. And it's just like so exciting that, you know, the little bit of money I send to Patreon every month that gets divided between you and other people, it's just like I'm supporting you in something that you like doing. And then as I see your growth come through this, I feel like a sense of excitement that I helped to contribute to that in a very small way, but see how, you know, you've grown your community and your, you know, the people who get involved in the podcast and just like your podcasting skills and all of that, like all of that improve over time. Like, I just feel a very Nan level pride for all of my Harry Potter family members, because
that's so sweet.
Everyone works so hard. And I think that there's such an expectation of you just work hard and you do it, and that's because you have to do it. And I think that if more people had supportive people around them, encouraging them, that's the way I raised my daughter. I always encouraged her and was proud of her. And when she did things that were, you know, not great, we would work through those things, but I never stopped loving her or stopped being proud of her. And so that's kind of what I feel like about the community. I have my issues with the creator, but I don't have my issues with the people in this community. And I think it's the biggest benefit that comes out of this community is the emotional and mental support that we get from each other.
Yeah, I definitely can say that I feel like when I first was reading the books and growing up, I had no concept for the author in any capacity. I'm the person who reads a book and I do not care who the hell the author is. And I didn't even know J.K. Rowling had a Twitter until like 2 years ago when I heard it on MuggleCast. I've been involved in the Harry Potter community since, well, I don't know, like pretty much like the second book when I was a kid. But for me, it's always been that connection of friends and that connection of community. Mel and I talked about this too when we talked with Jen, how when Fantastic Beasts came out, the first one, I was like ecstatic, over the moon that we were getting new Harry Potter content and the whole community was coming back together and it was going to be great. And it was going to be like when the book was come out and we would all just get together and have a great time. The first movie, kind of that happened. The second movie, not so much. But it, for me too, it's the community that really is the crowning gem of this fandom. And we have a very accepting fan community and we have a very positive fan community compared to some other fandoms that's not really the case. So I really love and appreciate the Harry Potter community for that aspect as well.
All that you just talked about, this sense of not having to be alone if you don't have your family close or have any relationship to them at all, and you have this sense of belonging when you meet these people around the world, any place is possible. We have also friends from all sorts of corners far away. Juliana and me are always the best example. We are so far away from each other, but we are best friends. And
she shares her energy with me, and it's kind of annoying sometimes because if she's having a bad day, I automatically know it.
But that's the part of being friends and family that I think that people discount. Yeah. They think that you can't have that type of relationship with a person that you're not blood related to or legally related to for whatever reason. And the beautiful thing about this is that the internet makes the world tiny. And the internet makes it so that you can have a best friend who lives in Finland. And you can live here on the East Coast of the US. And you are still there for each other. Before I took my sabbatical, if I didn't post something on Instagram for a couple of days, Paula is texting to make sure I'm okay because she knows that I have, you know, variable health. And I have to say that that's what really has, you know, in becoming a disabled person who is, for the most part, homebound, having that community, having that touchstone. I don't think about those folks any differently than I think about blood family or my family by marriage.
My own thought has always been that since I have also a very, very difficult relationship to my family, it made me really emotional and brought tears to my eyes when you were just talking about this, because this really hits very close to my heart, how you speak about this community and what it means to you, because it's exactly what it is for me as well, that no matter how far away some of them might be, they are so close to you in your heart and they are my family. And that's what I have, even before I had this online community of people that are far away, my friends have always been my family. And it doesn't matter if you are blood related or not, family means you are there for each other, you care for each other, you love each other unconditionally. No matter if you have a bad day, they will be there for you and will help you through it. And that is what makes it so special, that you can have that nowadays with anyone far away even. That if people would know how many audio messages I am getting sometimes from Juliana, and I am sending them back, it's worth of 20, 30 minutes sometimes of just audio messages in a row.
Oops!
Just to share each other's thoughts and worries, happy moments, and all of that. It means so much to be able to have that. And it's very special to hear that this exists for more people than only us, because that is something I wish everyone to have, that you do experience some closeness like this if you can't have that necessarily around you or from your own family. So it's very valuable.
This particular book community is built for that, because it is a book about an orphan who has no real family of his own. And so I think that part of what makes the Harry Potter community specifically, because I do belong to other fandom communities, the uniqueness about it is that so much of Harry's growth as a person and character through time happens because of interaction with people who are his found family and who he creates as his core group of people over time. And I think that's why it resonates so deeply with the Harry Potter crowd, with the magical community. You know, we are coming from something where it is canon that the main character is alone, is a lighthouse, and doesn't realize that he has all of the ships and a caretaker around him. They're just not who he thought he'd have.
I was going to say, I definitely agree with you too, because we all, in some way, if you're a Harry Potter fan, you have connected to Harry in some way. And that is why innately you're here, because you love the books first off, or you love the movies, and you've connected with the characters. And you're right. And I remember this as a kid when I was reading this, because I've always just been Juliana. There's only one Juliana. I've chronically been like the lovingly weirdo of a lot of things because of that. Either not had the easiest time making friends and not really had a lot of friends, and just feeling like I was alone as a kid a lot of the time. I remember just feeling so alone and really connecting to Harry because I was seeing myself in him. Because one, I was like literally the same age as him as the books were coming out. Two, because of that sense of feeling like I was alone and that my refuge was the friends that I did end up making.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that involved in this fandom, you felt some kind of connection to Harry at some point.
Yeah, I started reading Harry Potter books. My daughter had a classmate whose grandparents lived in the UK. They had sent across a copy for their grandson here, and their teacher was reading it to them at school. And so a few months after that, I got a copy of it from the library and I read it myself. And it was very shortly after my first spouse and I had split up, and I was very alone and feeling very by myself and adrift in the world. And it was, he went to this really fun place and found all of these people who care about him. And like, so there's the possibility that someday I'm going to figure out where that place is for me and find the people with whom I fit in. And that's why it resonated with me as a grown adult with a child. And you're right, there are people who it's a big fear. And you know, my husband enjoys Star Wars and Harry Potter, and he is incredibly indulgent. I have to say, I have a whole room in my house that's Harry Potter. So clearly my husband is very indulgent.
Welcome to the club.
Yes.
Mel and I are both currently part of that club. The only difference with mine is half of mine is Little Mermaid and half of it is Harry Potter.
Yeah. Through the grace of the internet, which is, you know, this thing that brought something amazing into my life, brought this amazing husband who is an amazing father to my daughter and a grandfather to my grandchild. And again, it's a found family thing. And it all keeps folding back into it.
Yeah.
That's why when I was thinking about a topic for today, I thought that would be a perfect thing, because we are family.
Mm-hmm.
I almost liken it to, like, you know, one of those like fungus systems, like a mushroom system that grows underground and is takes over everywhere. And you see little pieces of it here and there and everywhere, but it's It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And Harry Potter is one of those things where it's internationally ubiquitous. You know, there's very few places in the world that you can go that somebody doesn't know about it. And if they're a fan, you can connect on some level. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it is my favorite thing about the community. Mm-hmm. The people and their creativity and just my enjoyment of everyone's milestones and successes. It's just such a wonderful blessing to have at a point in my life where I could be very shut in and not interacting with people and feel very alone. I don't feel alone because I know that in my hand, I have an entire family of people who I can grab and mm-hmm. talk to and reach out to and be excited for.
Yeah.
It's also so nice to see how natural it comes that you're getting connected to people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have started this podcast, we have gotten to know, let's say, 1-2 people here, and through them we have gotten 2-3-4 more people more, and everyone is somehow in some way connected. And sometimes you find someone you have never seen and heard of and is amazing, and you see, oh, you know X, Y, and
so
on.
This person,
and,
yeah.
Yes, and you have already some way you are connected in that way already again. And it's just so fun to discover all these people and what amazing things they do and what stories they have to tell. It just makes it so fun to be involved. And yeah, you have immediately this connection that you feel like, okay, you don't have this awkwardness, you know, where you mm-hmm. have to get to know each other and you don't quite know what to say. And you kind of have the base already that you can build on. And that makes it quite easy to find people like you, for example, and then sitting together and having a really lovely chat.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about being able to find people in general on the internet, and especially the Harry Potter community, is that it kind of allows you to find the friends that you've always wanted to have. I've always kind of been like a little bit of an outcast, just ended up with, in the most lovingly way possible, the friends that no one else wanted to be friends with, and I just had this mismatched crew of people that would follow me around in high school.
So you mean you didn't have this connection that made you feel like, I'm home with these people?
Yeah, I didn't feel home, I didn't feel understood. Yeah. Over the last couple of years, since I've become more involved personally in the Harry Potter fandom, I feel like I found a place. And I feel like I found those friends that I've always wished I had, but didn't know where to find them. And mm-hmm. they're here. Hello.
Hello.
We're here.
There are two of them right here with me. You can find much deeper connections sometimes, and I know you ladies probably can speak to that too, than you would with a lot of your in-person friends. Because I know personally, a lot of the people that I am friends with, especially over this quarantine, have proven to me that they are just situational friends. That, hey, we run races together, or hey, we used to do this together. We would chat about that while we were there, but it doesn't really go beyond that. Whereas I harass Mel with many voice messages every day and interject myself into her life, whether she likes it or not, on multiple occasions throughout the day.
I am very patient. One of the great traits of a Hufflepuff.
Yes.
I'm very patient.
She's patient and she's loyal, so that's really all you need.
Yes. Yeah.
No, it's just this, instead of cherry picking, I like to say you're looking for complementary flavors to whatever version of fruit or food you are.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. You're looking for people who are not necessarily the same as mm-hmm. you, but who have the same interests and passions as you.
Yeah.
And you have that connection that is worth as much, if not more, than a genetic or legal connection to some people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. There's significant value in it that I don't think people appreciate to the level that they should.
I always think that people who don't believe in such friendships haven't experienced it themselves. And that's the key point. You can't know until you have met someone like that. Yep. Where it has clicked like this and you made this deep connection. Not just Juliana, but our other girls in the group are my closest friends that I have, or some of my closest friends. I have a couple more, but it doesn't matter how far they are. We are coming together and we are chatting literally for hours on hours on Zoom or Skype or whatever. And we can see each other. Yes, it would of course be great if I could be hopping through the screen and give you a hug if it's necessary, that when you had a bad day. That is of course missing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, as close as it can get, you definitely can have these deep connections. And it's just, they haven't experienced it.
The world is this big now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's holding up her phone.
Approximately.
It may take time to find your group of people to whom you belong,
mm-hmm.
but you will find it eventually. And you will find people who love and support whatever it is you're interested in, whatever it is you do, whatever your commonality is. Because generally, when you tend to have a commonality with somebody about a fandom, you find other things in your life that cascade into commonality as well.
Well, and I will say that one of the biggest things that I've gained from being friends with Mel and our other friends and anyone really we've met through this podcast is my expanded worldview of all these things, because to just hear how things are different in Finland and hear how things are different in Germany, Brazil, France, or England, or really or anywhere in the United States is just really exciting for me to hear all these things.
It is really nice to see that there are differences there are cultural differences, there are different mm-hmm. experience, generally speaking, that everyone has made in their life, but you can still bond over all of them in some way and support each other and learn from each other, especially. That is very valuable to me, that the things I have learned from my friends from different places is just, it's really fun, very interesting. Sometimes you are in disbelief even over
like,
it.
Like about but... Cola Beer. I'm still in disbelief over that. The shock will never leave my system.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, one of the points that you spoke about, too, Mela, is you can have connections everywhere. So if you travel somewhere, like I know personally I'm going to be going to Universal in November, and I'm traveling alone. But I have a day set up with Danny and a day set up with Paula already.
Mm-hmm. I'm so envious. It's going to be a long time till I'm going to be able to travel again. I was really hoping that Uncelebration was going to be a thing that I could make this coming January. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not going to happen for me. And it's wise that I don't go, but it's just like,
yeah,
wherever you go, someone is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are we learning from the discussion that we have had today?
Well, I think we've learned that found family is just as valid as blood family. And sometimes, mm-hmm. and in our cases, it sounds like better for our mental health than some of the blood-related family that we have.
Yeah, it's because we can choose
mm-hmm.
this part of the family that we are holding.
Yeah, and that, like Mela said, these connections that we have kind of foster self-expression to the true form of yourself, and also just being creative, and I don't know, I just love it.
The idea of found family has certainly grown in popularity over the years, and I think part of that is due to the advent of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Found family does not force you to stay in toxic relationships that are not good for your mental or physical well-being. And that is the beauty of found family. It is valid, it is important, and it is how many people are able to deal with loneliness and isolation.
And it's magical.
It's magical. It is magic.
I think that sums it up very lovely.
Yes. Thank you, Mela, for choosing that topic. I think we had a very good discussion. I think, if anything, it was therapeutic for myself.
Me too.
So I will take that in my pocket and save it for later. But yeah, that was a really great discussion. I think that was really fun. So what we will do now is we will get into our quick fun segment of the week, which is our game. Are you puffing kidding me? This is our game where each person has one fact that they tell to the group, and the group must then vote if this person is telling the truth or puffing with them. Each guessing person can also ask one question of the person giving the statement, and Mela, as we normally do with our guests, if you would like to, you may go first and give your statement. Know that there are points on the line here, and the guests are winning.
Points? Nobody told you about points.
Yes.
So, okay, I have been interviewed by a national media outlet for a special with Robin Roberts with my husband to talk about migraine on a national platform. And if you Google me, you can go and find a video of me talking about life with migraine.
Here's the problem, Mela. You should have picked something more complex because you gave us this video.
I know, and I...
For our Patreon, and I've seen it. I watched it, so it's true. It must be true because I've seen the video.
I was about to say I have no idea who Robin Roberts is. It's a great name, though.
Oh, that's definitely a made-up TV name. That is not her given birth name. It can't be.
And the weather person is Stormy Daniels. And you're like, okay, probably, because I name all my children Stormy.
It's according to Hogwarts, as a professor, you're fitting your profession as well.
Yeah.
With your name,
yeah.
So.
True.
So, I assume we have our answer.
Yes. It's true, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It is how I got started doing migraine advocacy. I saw someone post about it in a Facebook group saying they were looking for people who were willing to talk about migraine and marriage and relationships. And my sister and I took our very first vacation ever together. And during that process, I was interviewing. And then when that became public, the local organization found me. And I had a few people contact me about it, but they're the group that I decided that I really wanted to work with. But having that opportunity to talk about migraine is what started my advocacy journey. And so it is always something that is incredibly special to me.
And any of our listeners, if you haven't seen this video, it's very lovely. It's on our Patreon as well. Mm-hmm. But we can also share the link in maybe in the episode description too, Mel?
Yeah, we definitely can.
Okay, awesome. So that means both of us just gained a point, which is great. I need all the points I can get. I will be beating Mel this season. Thank you very much. Okay, Mel, so I may obtain another point. Why don't you go next?
Okay, so my friend Sarah from Sweden, who we had on and you have heard a couple of times of, became friends. And when she visited me, she noticed a statue and she said, that looks kind of familiar. And when she got back home, she realized that she has the exact same statue also very close to her home. And it is actually a friendship statue between her town and my town. So between Turku, Finland, and Gothenburg in Sweden.
I think that that's true because it feels wildly Scandinavian to me.
I'm going to take that one and put that one in my back pocket too and save that for later. Yeah, you can ask a question too if you want, Mella. Why was the statue in both towns? Was there like a festival? Was there some kind of treaty that was drawn or something?
No, so this is a statue that is not going away. It's staying there. It's been there since, I think, the 50s or something. It's just a symbol for the partnership and friendship between these two towns. It's the exact same statue.
I know, I think I'm going to go with Mella on this one and say that this sounds wildly Scandinavian to me as well. And I think it's true. So Mel, what is the verdict on your end?
So you both say it's true.
Yes.
Yes.
How disappointed would you be if I say it's wrong?
I would be devastated.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I cannot lie to you. It is true.
Yes. What's the name of the statue?
It is called When Friendships Are Made. So it definitely exists. And it happened, as I said, that Sarah came to Turku to visit me for the first time. And we walked through town. And it's not that far from my home, this statue. And she looked at it and she thought, it looks very familiar. And then later when she returned home to Sweden, she figured out, okay, I have the same statue just around the corner. It shows two riders in this sculpture that meet, and they are symbolizing the friendship between our towns.
I'm looking at it on Google.
Yeah, it was actually unveiled on May 21st, 1955.
Oh, wow.
So it's been there for quite a while. And upon finding out that what this statue is symbolizing, we took this as a sign that we were meant to meet and be best friends.
Aww, well, that's sweet.
We have pictures of standing in front of my statue and in front of hers when I visited her.
Aww, that's nice.
I believe there are very few coincidences in the universe. Some things happen just the way they're supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, so that means we both got a point. So Mella got a point for the guests and I got a point for myself. So friends, going into this round, Juliana has gotten the maximum amount of points that she can get for this episode. So pat on my back. Good job, Juliana. Okay, my statement is that the maker and model of shoe that I wore in the first marathon that I ever ran, I have worn that maker and model for every marathon I have run thus far. But obviously I've worn different versions as the years have gone by, because they don't sell the old versions after a year anyway. But I've worn the same make and model of shoe since my very first marathon. A tried and true shoe.
Mel, what do you think?
I think I'll let you answer first. Do we have questions?
Yes, you can each ask me a question.
I don't have a question. This is absolutely true. People who are runners are religious about what they wear, what brands they purchase, when they run.
Yes.
People who are very much into a sport, but especially runners. There is something about running that is an absolute cult.
In the best way possible.
Not that it's an absolute cult. It has cult-like tendencies. There's not one single leader telling you to sell all of your goods and wear green muumuus.
When you put your foot in the wrong shoe,
you know.
And you're a runner, you know you are. Okay. What do you think?
I agree with that. And I think to remember that you talked with me about this not that long ago and that you told me something along the lines that you are wearing the same type. So I will say also that it's true. Now, before you answer, just in case that we are both wrong, please do not scream directly into the microphone now because I always have this.
The big.
It's so bad to edit that part.
Okay. So I will tell
you. In your calmest voice.
In my calmest voice. Ha! You were wrong. I ran my first marathon. It's actually the shoe that I have tattooed on my stomach right here. This is my ASICS Gel Cumulus 23. I know exactly what model it is too. But I currently am running in the Hoka Clifton 7s because when I ran my first marathon, something happened with my foot. And so I needed a shoe with a bigger toe bed. I went through like 10 different pairs of shoes.
Okay, so but here's the thing. Now that you found your shoe through trial and error, are you ever going to mix that up? No.
No. No, this is the shoe that I've bought in many of these shoes.
See, that's what I had in my head then. So I actually wasn't really wrong with what I thought.
That was a complete lie because all of my marathons have now been in different shoes. Thank you very much. But it's just been a trial and error process. But yes, Mella, you're right.
So with that, Juliana made 2 points. I am not going to lie. I'm disappointed. Mella and me made both 1 point. So now...
I'm sorry, but I feel like I deserve a half a point for that. Because once she figured out what running shoe she wanted...
Me too.
Then she stuck with it.
Yeah.
Oh, you do... Mel, I will give Mella a half a point. I will not give Mella half a point.
Of course you don't.
I know what's going on. It's a Melanie thing.
Don't give her any more points.
Since I am in charge of the tally, if you're complaining more about it, I will take points down from your tally as a punishment.
I will also say the guests also don't need any more points. Mel, give us the standings, and Mela will get a good understanding of the fact that we're still behind.
So the current points are, the guests are leading with 20 points still. Juliana is slowly gaining. She has 13 points now. I'm running behind with 9 points.
You're
sad.
That far behind? I didn't realize that. Oh, wow. Okay.
I will catch up in time, I am sure. I just have to believe in myself.
So next we're going to send over to our Badger correspondent, Miss Buttercup. Buttercup, let us know what the question of the week is.
Hello, my dears. Do you also have a found family? Tell us all about them and if you have learned anything new through them. We would love to share your beautiful stories on the next episode.
Well, thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question of the week. And Mella, thank you so much for joining us. This was absolutely lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. This is the most fun I've had all week.
Well, we are more than happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, but same for us as well. Yeah. It was such a delightful conversation with you and having you on. That was very lovely. Thank you so much for taking that time.
Yes. And Mella, if all of our listeners want to find you and your creations, like your jewelry and your keys, where can they find you?
So if you are on Instagram, you can find me at Mella the Huffleman. There's a dot between Mella and Huffleman, but I'm pretty easy to find. For the jewelry and the craft stuff that I make, you'll find me on Remington Curiosities, which is a shop on Etsy, and I upcycle... I started doing just Harry Potter books, but now I'm also expanding it to other book fandoms. So I have some Anne of Green Gables things, which is a huge fandom for me. Twilight, Alice in Wonderland, because migraines have a special connection with Alice in Wonderland. And find different and creative ways to make things with them. I make bookmarks and earrings and Christmas ornaments and all kinds of fun things. For me, it's not about making money as a business. It's about sharing fun things that I've created and finding a new life for old books. But if you're on Twitter, I'm Mella K. Bella, and mostly my Twitter is book stuff and me complaining about politics. And I use a lot of foul language, so if that's not your jam, don't mind me.
Not for children.
not for children. And I'm, you know, I'm on Facebook. You can friend request me there if you'd like. I have a Mella the Hufflepuff webpage on Facebook, but I don't do very much with it. Once I transferred over to Instagram, that just kind of sat fallow. Mm-hmm. But I am around, and I'm always happy to talk about Harry Potter stuff, Hufflepuff stuff, migraine stuff, especially if you're new to the migraine community, you have questions, you have questions about getting access to meds, or, you know, being disabled and having access to services. But also if you're one of those people who doesn't have a hype team or a grandpa who, you know, is proud of you or something and you want to share your accomplishments with, that's what I'm here for. It's one of the things that gives me the most joy is being supportive of other people and their accomplishments, especially when they don't have other folks around who will cheerlead for them.
Yeah. And as always, we will put everything in the info box so people can very easily find you there.
Yes. And if you would like to get in contact with us over here at Puffcast, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffcastPod. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/Puffcast. And we are also on TikTok at Puffcast. You can email us any questions, answers, comments, concerns, voicemails from Dobby to puffcastpod @gmail.com. And if you would like to become a supporter of us over on Patreon for as little as $2 a month, you can do so at patreon.com/puffcast and get exclusive benefits like our Facebook group, stickers, bonus episodes, bloopers, and so much more, along with being a contributor to our monthly charity donation that when this episode comes out, we will be announcing the charity donation for that month shortly afterwards.
This month's Patreon donation goes to the Child Foundation and their Afghanistan Crisis Fund for Emergency Assistance. The children of Afghanistan are facing threats of insecurity and violence in the region of Balkh province and Kabul, where approximately 800 Child Foundation children live and learn. These communities need emergency assistance. Child Foundation's first priority is to apply these donated funds to the needs of vulnerable Afghans, including the hundreds of families that they have been working with for many years. Food and safe shelter are vital. The second priority with the funds is to support displaced and refugee Afghans in the region. This support is critical in a country devastated by 30 years of violence. We would like to thank our patrons so much for joining us to help where it's needed. And if you would also like to donate, go to childfoundation.org and find the Afghanistan Crisis Fund for Emergency Assistance. The link is also mentioned in our episode's info box or check out our socials.
And if you would like to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, we would highly appreciate that, and we would love to read it on the show. So, Mella, thank you so much for joining us again. This was lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. This really is the most fun I've had all week. And I really appreciate you inviting me and letting me babble on for a ridiculously long amount of time.
Thank you for babbling.
Thank you for supporting us also, because that means a lot to us that we can have your support and that we can share that with others as well.
Yeah.
So. Thank you.
Okay, so until next time, stay puffy.
And badger on.
Badger on.
Yay!
Awesome.